Welcome to the Hunting Camp Podcast.
It's like a beast. Oh my god.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's a nice eye.
Yeah. That was a fast hunt. Holy cow.
Welcome to the Hunting Camp Podcast. In this week's episode, we have Andy on once again to discuss public land pheasant hunting tactics, along with an interesting comparison between white-tailed deer hunting on public land and pheasant hunting on public land. Let's get into the episode right now.
So, kind of a little reset in the conversation here. So, we talked about the night before, you prepping gunner for the hunt. So it's game day. Like, are you looking at maps? Like, what are you doing on public ground? I'm talking about public ground specifically. What are you focused on? Because I know as a bow hunter that I'm looking for certain things. I'm looking where the pressure is, where, you know, what food sources they're on. What are you doing as a public land pheasant hunter to put you in position and your dog? And the people you're
hunting
with.
What are you doing? Pick out your field.
Yeah. There you go.
So, for the most part, being Wisconsin, we're not South Dakota.
We're not known for it.
No. We're not South Dakota.
Yeah.
So, if I'm hunting.
Yeah, we can go on a totally new tangent. Like, I've thought about bullet points.
I think there's so many conversations right now that I'm thinking that I need to head my ass back up here. And, like, we need to talk more pheasants. Like, I'm learning a lot tonight. I really am. Because I don't know shit about pheasants. And, like, this is opening my eyes. How much is involved? Like, because I know how much is involved with, like, whitetail hunting and stuff. But there's so much involved in pheasant hunting that, like...
I think, and this is just my two cents, I think there's more involvement in... training your dog,
yeah.
Preparation than there is in the actual hunt.
Okay.
Only in I shouldn't say only Wisconsin, but because public Wisconsin birds are, for the most part, most of the state, those birds are planted birds.
Okay.
Exactly.
They're government.
That's my point.
They're government DNR birds. So as far as me picking an area, the area is. Okay,
based on
they're planting birds in this area, that's where I'm going.
Okay,
if I want no,
and,
no.
And you're talking Eastern Wisconsin. Me and you have had a back and forth on
yeah.
this, like, because I don't want to cut off Andy or anything, because I'm in a less populated part of the state than what you are,
and your part of the state has a tendency. I'm willing to bet.
I'm in the western part of the state, just so people know.
Yeah, that
yeah.
western part of the state, there's no doubt in my mind
yeah.
that there's not birds there that aren't reproducing naturally.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
Well, I don't want to cut you off, but, like, I see them, like, just in farmers' fields. I just see them.
You see them everywhere.
Yeah.
I've seen your Snapchats.
Yeah, yeah. Where they're fighting and whatnot in the middle of the road.
It's like, so I get that. In your area, sure. So in your area, if I were in your area and I was looking at, like, naturally reproducing birds,
yeah.
I would be looking more for your lowlands,
okay.
cattail sloughs, close to CRPs. I hate to say it, but yeah, roads and ditches. Find your lowlands, find your ditches, find your cattails.
One thing I don't want to cut you off, but some of the public land stuff that I bow hunt. I've seen a lot of pheasants where I need to cross some sort of body of water.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of guys are prepared with, like, waders to cross. And I'm talking water that gets above your knee.
Sure.
To get to those fields. And that's where I've seen a lot of pheasants.
Sure.
Where...
So my brother goes to South Dakota every year. And when he goes out there, he wears... forget those. He's got a they're like a chap wader type combo or hip boot.
Are you talking about like those Dan's?
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're picture like a knee boot.
Yep.
That
I know exactly.
Are married with
and they're
hip boots.
They're super durable.
Yeah. My brother has those. And that's a huge asset up there because you can go essentially where anywhere hip waders can go, but you have the durability of the chaps versus, you know, durability of waders or hip boots.
Okay, so you'd say up here it's more tracking what fields are being hit, tracking what fields are being planted.
Yeah.
In eastern Wisconsin. Okay.
So for us, what I'm looking for is you know. For me, again, they're planted birds, so I know this sounds kind of staged, but if I pull into a parking lot to check out a field, and I can see multiple beaten down paths coming off of that parking lot, it's like,
No, that's a great point.
I'm not going to go there, because clearly guys have been hitting this field hard.
No, that's a great point. That's something I never think of. You know,
essentially, I'm not looking for cover for the bird because I know that they're going to be planted on there. I'm looking more for human presence.
Yeah,
if there's a lot of human presence, then I'm not interested.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Do you notice more birds in kind of overlooked spots, like along roadsides and whatnot, or wet little pockets, or they just kind of there, like in the field, center of the field? I guess, okay, let me rephrase that question, if I may.
I will say this, out of majority of the public land birds that I have shot in eastern Wisconsin, they have not been in the center of fields, in the middle.
I guess that's...
I'll give Archer an opening weekend experience.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll talk about that experience, bud. What happened?
Well, I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't there. Okay. Sorry, I thought you
I heard
there.
The story.
Okay, what's the story?
Well, opening weekend, you did.
Not this year. I'm talking about last year.
Oh, last year's, last year's was...
Tell us about the story.
So, last year, we got into a field... we got into a field and we popped, you know, with Archer and I. It was an opening weekend, I guess.
Well, it was not opening weekend, it was the second weekend?
It wasn't, because we were allowed four birds. Opening weekend, you're allowed one bird apiece.
One rooster apiece.
Well, get all your buddies together for opening weekend.
It wasn't opening weekend, it was second weekend, or third weekend.
Because I don't, you and Archer clean house that weekend, I wasn't invited.
Archer and I went out, it was just him and I. It was just him and I, so we were allowed four birds. And the area that we hunt in, because some areas in Wisconsin are rooster or hen, there are some areas that are rooster only.
Okay.
We were in rooster only.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And
that's super.
So we were essentially allowed four roosters that day with the two of us hunting.
Can I ask a quick question? Like rooster, hen only. Okay, so you said there's a lot of planted birds and whatnot. Well, why is that stipulation? Like rooster, hen, like, you know, if
your guess is as good as mine.
Okay. From a novice perspective, you get the point I was trying to.
You gotta send an email to somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure there's a theory or a reason behind it.
Maybe just in case they do produce.
But what it is, I don't really know.
They probably put the hens in more, like you said, more naturally producing areas.
Sure.
They want to put the hens. They want maybe the hens will survive.
Well, I've seen it. Sorry to interrupt, but I've seen more hens in my part of the state than what I've seen in the eastern part of the state based off like my scouting. So maybe they know, maybe they've done the biology
behind it to find out, to say, hey, you know what, this area, they have a fighting chance of reproducing.
Yeah. Well, it's like when they stock lakes with walleye or whatnot, like, is this lake naturally producing when they do their fish?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I'd buy that.
Yeah.
I don't, to answer your question, I don't know for
sure. Okay. I just thought I'd pose the question just because it's just, I think common sense
maybe
prevails with that question that I had to ask.
They got a
and you're not a biologist, yeah.
No, but yeah, that weekend we were out, Archer and I, we stopped at the first field. It was beautiful. I got one. He got one.
Yeah.
Both roosters. It was a great start to the morning.
Yeah.
And then, so we hunted the rest of that field. Nothing else showing. Went to a couple of different ones. Nothing in those. Went to the last field, and I was like, well, geez, there's one right there on the side of the road. So we got out, hunted that one. Archer got that one.
There we go.
I'm not real sure. That last bird, the last bird we came on, we saw that last bird. Archer's the one that spotted it. And we're like, all right, let's hop out. We'll take a look, check it out. We hopped out, and Archer's like, oh, it's right there. And it's like, you want me to send a dog? Sorry, it's hard to concentrate. Butt's got the egg. Deep breaths. And
we're letting this ride. We're not editing this.
So then Archer got out, and I'm like, do you need me to let Gunner out? It's like, no, he's right here, Dad. I'm like, all right. Well, and Archer knows my rule. My rule is no ground swatting. So we want that bird to flush.
Sorry, novice hunter, ground swatting.
Shooting bird on the ground.
Okay.
We want that bird to be up in the air.
Okay, moving on.
Because, you know, you're not going to shoot the dog.
More of a, we're not going to shoot my dog, and B, it's more of a sporting chance. It's just...
Yeah, hence why Bud doesn't get in half his birds.
Makes sense. So, okay, I just had to ask.
So we were like, whatever. Archer was following his bird, and I'm like, just kind of walk at it. It'll flush. And I was coaching him from from the road as Archer was in the field chasing his bird.
Yeah, it's just sitting in the parking lot.
It wasn't parking lot. It was on the side of the road. I mean, come on. And he went out there, chased that bird down, and he looks back at me. Now, by now, he's 75, 80 yards out. He's like, Dad, it's not flushing. And I'm like, do you see it? And he's like, yeah, it's right in front of me. And I'm like, well,
shoot it.
I'm like, try one more time, and if not, shoot it. So he kind of stutter stepped at it like a come at me, bro, and the bird didn't get up, so he's like, well, fuck it. He shot it. And he come back with that bird, and it's like, oh, all right.
It works.
Not really ideal, you know, but as far as
it's hunting.
Planted birds, I mean, that's...
Well, that's hunting sometimes, though. You got to just...
It's definitely not your South Dakota birds that, you know, they see you from 100 yards away and they start flushing.
Okay.
I mean, it's by no means that. I mean, they're used to, they see humans and they think, ooh, you're going to feed me, huh? It's the best that I got here.
Yeah.
You know, so I know a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, those are planted birds. It's like, well, you know what? Sorry, dickhead, but that's the best I got.
Hey.
And hey, I like doing it, and I don't live in South Dakota or...
Well, and that, you know, that's kind of like what I'm trying to focus on in more of this podcast is more the real side of hunting in Wisconsin. Like, Christ, Bud and I have different goals when it comes to white-tailed deer hunting. Like, I'm out there to shoot, you know, 140, 150-inch deer. Like, his goals are to put 100 pounds of meat on the table. Your goals with pheasant hunting are... somebody different than South Dakota. I think that's what makes hunting great is everybody has their own goals and everybody has their own hunt. Like, I think that's what makes hunting great. Like, is the freedom to do what you want within the rules. And like,
sure. Well, and there's call it versatility. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can slice that pie a million different ways.
Yeah, and that's my favorite thing about hunting. Like, I've never pheasant hunted, but I can relate to that. Like, I've hunted in Iowa. I've hunted in the what do you call it? The gold mine of whitetails, the dream state or whatever. And I've hunted in Wisconsin. Very good state. Yeah. Not to talk shit about state, but like South Dakota's kind of that gold. North.
Well, yeah, 100%.
It's like, but you gotta hunt with what you got. Like,
that's what I have available to me, so that's what I'm gonna take.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the hunting that I've had in Iowa compared to Wisconsin, I enjoy them both the same.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can, I'm sure you can definitely find upsides to both. I mean, go back to like, I don't know if fundamentals is the right word, but the fundamentals of hunting would be, I'm out in that field on a cool, brisk fall morning with my buddies. Sometimes cooking breakfast out there with my son, making memories, shooting birds, running my dog, dog's having the time of his life. I mean,
it's an experience.
So they're planted birds, whatever.
Who gives a shit?
I'm having a ball. I'm having a great experience.
You're having a ball. And that's what it's all about. And I, you know,
Don't get me wrong. I'd love to go tomorrow, Saturday, right?
Yeah.
I'd love to go tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. I'd love to be in South Dakota hunting wild pheasants. I'd love it. But it's not in the cards because, you know what? I got to work on Monday. I have plans on Sunday. And it's just...
That's the way it goes.
That's life.
So, when you're flushing birds, like, what type of shit are you looking for?
Like, to go kill?
Go kill it. To have Gunner flush his bird. Like, what type
of... I want him to go in the thickest shit fucking possible, because apparently then he flushes them up and they go up on the other side. And then I get, oh, that's great.
Okay, that was lame. It serves. All right, Andy, what are you looking for?
That kind of summed it up.
Just
thick little clumps, okay.
Yeah, I flushed it up. Yeah, look at it. The bird went on the other side of the brush that you're standing on.
Bud, your wife's going to come down here and roast your ass.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, so we don't know. Looking for when it comes to flushing birds.
So, I mean, I guess it's hard to explain if you're not there.
Like tree clumps, little take clumps.
Take-o game farms.
Talking public land.
It really depends on the bird. We've had public land birds.
Watch out for those runners.
Yeah, we've had some that run. If it's super thick, super heavy cover, chances are they won't run. Chances are they're going to flush. They're going to want an avenue to run if they're going to run.
Define avenue.
Again, it's hard to explain if you're not there, but less than thick cover. If it's super thick, super dense, and that bird is kind of hunkered down.
Potentially like deer trails like that have been?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And potential like trails that like four-wheelers have gone down?
ATV trails, walking trails, deer trails.
Yeah.
Any kind of even bunny trails, small game
trails. Okay, yeah. I've seen that personally just walking around scouting for deer.
They're gonna just like anything else, they're going to take a path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. So if they have an opportunity to run on a somewhat of a trail, they're going to take it. If they don't have that opportunity, they're going to flush.
Yeah.
Or if the threat, i.e. gunner, is getting too close to them, too quick, that they can't run, they're going to flush.
That makes sense. No, that's great. I think, honestly, that's a great segue into... We're staying on kind of the same thing. I'd love to ask Andy more about peasant hunt and whatnot, but we're gonna you know, talk about some similarities between whitetails and pheasants. I think this is a perfect time to segue. Because I'm a whitetail hunter. Bud, he's all over the map. He hunts everything.
I like shooting stuff.
So I think when it comes to pheasants and whitetails, because I've scouted a lot of CRP this year. Buds, you've hunted a lot of CRP type stuff over the past couple years, and I just want to talk to like some comparisons that I am noticing where I see whitetails and pheasants. And to me, it seems like where I find whitetails and pheasants is there's some sort of structure.
Transition.
You can keep going. I was trying to be candid.
Oh, that worked out for you.
It didn't.
Let's retry it.
Whitetails and structure. What?
Huh?
Whitetails and structure?
I don't know.
I'd be real. Where are we going?
Yeah, I'm all fucked up now. This podcast went off the rails, folks. No.
Oh, Christ. Buzz bringing out snacks.
Okay, let's get back on fucking track here.
All right. Whitetails and structure, bud.
No, like pheasants, whitetails, and structure.
Why am I getting involved?
Seen from the podcast. Okay, so whitetails, pheasants, and structure. Like you said that like pheasants come out of the thickest shit possible, like little clumps
they always
of
do.
Cover.
They always do.
You know what? You know where I find whitetails? And those little clumps of cover. Would you guys not say that like that's where both animals like succeed, like where they thrive? In those little clumps of cover where there's that little structure type element.
Very inconspicuous.
Yeah.
Very inconspicuous. So there are areas that I have flushed birds that you look at and it's like you see this beautiful tag elder thicket.
Yep.
It's like that's gonna hold birds. You send the dog over there, you go in there, there's fucking nothing. It's like, come on, there's gotta be birds in there.
Yeah.
You send the dog in again. He goes in again. Still nothing. The dog's like, why do you keep putting me in there?
Yep.
There's nothing in there. And the dog goes off. And you'll have one tiny, inconspicuous little...
Rose bush.
Rose bush.
Yep.
Or a little thorn bush.
Yep.
Or whatever. And the dog starts circling it and he gets all frantic. And you see, like, all right, you look at his tail. You see the dog getting all excited. And it's like, son of a bitch, he's getting birdie. It's like... this is gonna happen. Here it goes, and yeah, the dog dives in there, and sure as shit, out jumps a rooster. What do you?
Okay.
Like, really? I mean, you're talking about bush areas in an area that, say, you have like the canary grass kind of shit that's waist high, knee high, waist high, and you're gonna have one little bush area that's maybe the root size of it, or the like where the stalks meet the ground is the size of a paper plate.
Yeah.
And out of it, all this beautiful area, that's where that bird flushes out of. It's like, are you serious?
Dude, that's, okay. Sorry to interrupt, but like today, I actually went out scouting. And you know that red brush kind of stuff?
Yep. Yeah,
so
dogwood.
Yeah, dogwood, red brush, that type of stuff. I was actually scouting that today. And there was actually one tree... there was one tree that was different from all that red brush. Guess where that buck was bedding? On that one tree that was different. That's where I think, because I've noticed that just like pheasants, it seems like they're in just that little different pocket. It's...
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. You find that difference.
Yeah.
You see what's around you, and you, it's almost like you scan the field and you see what's in abundance. It's like, all right, there's tag elder here, tag elder there, tag elder here, tag elder there. It's like, oh, but there's one little pocket of cattails. I'm going to go hit that.
Yep.
And that's where you're going to find it.
No, I've seen that same thing with big mature bucks. Like, you find all those tags, you find all that red brush, and you find that one tree that's different. and that's where that buck bedded. I don't know if it's the raise in elevation by 6 inches. I don't know what it is, but that's one thing, and that's where I've seen pheasants too out scouting. I see them in that little bit of diversity. It's like, I'd almost call it like micro diversity, like, is what I would call it.
Sure, I can see that.
Like, it's the spot within the spot. Like fishing,
yeah.
Hunting, it's finding that spot within the spot, for sure.
The X on the X.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, what else do I see similar with whitetails and pheasants? I think when I think whitetails, I think of it diversity. I know you said food isn't the most important thing, but I guarantee you that you need food, water, and cover. And that's the same thing
sure.
that you need with whitetails. And that's what you need with big whitetails. Everybody, Bud's opening some chubs here. We got a cool little spread. We got sausage, we got mozzarella, we got string cheese, we got herring, we got a fire going. So that's a little bit of the setting. Sorry to interrupt.
Did you ask me a question? I'm kind of focused on those smoked chubs over there.
Just diversity and habitat, I guess, is important for both species. Would you agree with that? You're the one that hunts multi-species. Like, would you not agree with that statement that diversity is very important for both species?
Yeah. 100%.
Could you elaborate, Mr. Bud?
I saw deer and pheasants, like, right on marsh.
Andy, could you get him out of the gutter here?
But
I can't,
because
all right, so, I mean, I do hunt.
Fuck, that's a bore.
I do hunt a lot of things. I do hunt diversity. We went through what, 5 or 6 fields, and we pulled into that parking lot to check that next field, and it's like there's 2 birds right there. It's
yeah.
Like,
and you just know when you pull up.
Shit, let's just hunt this, right? I mean, there's 2 birds right there. But again, where did we find those birds? We found those birds on the transition of a gravel parking lot with a ditch up into grassland.
Oh yeah.
So there's that elevation change, you have a ditch, you have grasslands, you have gravel, it's...
I mean, that's where I'm saying they're different, but they're almost the same, because I was scouting a chunk today of property, and one side of the street had a pond, had some red brush, had some oaks, a couple white oaks trees mixed in. I ended up bumping a deer, finding, you know, those buck beds that I sent Snap to Bud.
Yeah.
And across the street, it was just a monoculture of, what do you call that? What type of frickin' plant is it? Switchgrass. It was just switchgrass. Obviously, there's nothing on that side, but this side that had the most amount of diversity ended up holding the deer. So I'd say they're almost one of the same in some instances.
Well, sure, yeah, I would agree.
So, yeah, I just think it's cool, you know, a public land bow hunter can relate to a public land pheasant hunter, and just, like, how much habitat diversity and edge makes a difference in wildlife. Would you not say the same, Andy?
I would. I think that looking at some of the texts and Snapchats and stuff that you've sent
me. Conversation, yeah.
Yeah, just shooting the breeze. You know, you're finding these edges and these differences
pockets.
and pockets and stuff that's not inhabited by a lot of human traffic.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like I mentioned earlier, you know, if I go into a pheasant field and I find trails coming off the parking lot that are beat down, hammered, you can see that there's even to the point, I hate to say it, but, you know, litter in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You find stuff like that. There's stuff like that going on in the parking lot. You know that guys have been, guys have been hanging out.
Yep.
Guys are, you know, pulling shenanigans there in the parking lot. that they shouldn't be. There's not going to be birds there.
No, I agree with you.
I'm not going to hunt there.
Yeah, usually if I find a beet, like there's different types of beet down past. This is a whole nother tangent. Like, if you find a couple tracks here or there, that's one thing. But if it's
I would agree.
If it's just, it's like a nature trail. If it's like a nature trail,
sure.
Move on.
Yeah.
Just move on. So, no, I think that's
an interchange.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great spot to wrap up this conversation. I can't wait to talk to Andy more about, you know, pheasant hunting. I mean, we can talk about ammunition. We can talk about dog training. We can talk about out-of-state hunts. There's so many different areas we can go down. But I appreciate you frickin' shooting the breeze, as Andy likes to say. And Bud, any final thoughts?
Go shoot them.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. It was a fun episode to record with both Bud and Andy. I'm not sure what we'll be talking about next week in the podcast, but I'm sure it'll be something interesting. I'm assuming something along the lines of ice fishing or something like that. So once again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys in next week's episode.